The reason for turning that one off is that when you've got two microphones, they interfere with each other and you get horrible noises. So. Father, encourage us with your word of hope. Encourage us with your words of truth. Fill us with your word of love, that we may serve you and the risen Lord. Amen. Today's lectionary reading, which we've just heard, focuses on hope in death. Brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be ignorant. We do not grieve as those who have no hope. Well, yes, of course, we do grieve, but not in the way that those who do not know the hope of eternal life in Christ. The Thessalonian Christians were anxious about death and bereavement. Bereavement is a very painful human experience. However firm our Christian faith might be, the loss of a close relative or friend brings about the shock of an emotional roller coaster. To lose someone we dearly love is to lose part of ourselves. It calls for radical and painful adjustments to our lives, and that can take upwards of 2 years. We also face questions about those who have died. What has happened to them? Will we see them again? These questions in part reflect our Christian concern for the dead, and partly our concern for our own mortality. The death of someone close undermines our own security. This becomes more so as you grow older and you see that the people who are now dying and whose funerals you go to are actually younger than you are. Paul does not suggest that Christians should not grieve. Encouragement of the evangelical smile at funerals is to be discouraged. The sadness of loss and the tears of mourning are natural, and they're part of our emotional coming to terms with death. But Paul says, we don't want you to be ignorant of those who have died. We do not grieve as those who have no hope. Paul focuses his and all Christian hope in Christ, dead, raised, ascended, and Christ who will come again. The Christian hope is more than the return of Christ. It is the belief that when he comes, the dead will come with him and the Christian living will join them. For it is, of course, the separation that death brings that is the cause of so much of our pain and suffering. If God did not abandon Jesus in death, he will not abandon Christians who die in Christ. Death is unable to break the solidarity that is ours in Christ, a relationship that is stronger than death. Paul's purpose in writing is to strengthen and encourage these Christians in their bereavement and fear. Not to answer academic questions about the second coming of Christ. The important message is that the dead and the living will be reunited in Christ at his coming. Now these, says Paul, are strong words of comfort. But there is also hope for life. The Thessalonians were worried about their friends who had died, whether they would suffer any disadvantages when the end came. And of course, they worried about themselves, whether they would be accepted at the judgment of the end times. Paul responds by telling them that their problem won't be solved by knowing the date. He uses illustrations that affirm that Christ's coming will be sudden and unexpected, like a burglar at night, and sudden and unavoidable, like labor at the end of pregnancy. The right solution, says Paul, is to be alert and awake. We are to live in the light of Christ's love and are to follow Christ as our Savior and living Lord. Our eternal relationship of love with Christ began when we placed our lives into his hands. And that relationship continues through life, through death, and for eternity. And knowing this truth, we live in this truth. We live in this hope and in the power and the presence of God's Holy Spirit. And this hope encourages us, lest we forget. So Paul concludes by reminding the Thessalonians that they are secure in Christ. They're not destined for wrath, but for salvation. Our future salvation depends on God's purpose, and our future life on Christ's death. It is not based on the shifting sands of our performance. It's not a matter of whether we've done enough good things and too few bad things. It's not about our feelings, about whether we feel that God is close. It's based on God himself and on Christ's death for us. The encouragement that Paul offers to the Thessalonians is not a doctrine of the second advent of Christ. It is rather the further truth that the Christ who is coming to us is the very same Christ who died for us and rose again. The cross and the resurrection and the final coming of Christ are held together as our ultimate hope. The foundation of our Christian faith and hope, the essence of the gospel, of the good news, is that Jesus died and rose in order to bring us into union with him, and that when he comes, he will take us to be with him forever. Our coming King is none other than our crucified and risen Saviour. Lest we forget.